This morning, promises of God, great and exceeding powerful promises around the subject of prosperity, restoration, and favor. So let's go through it. We're going to call out some of these promises and see what the Lord is telling us through them. Hallelujah. We start out here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And verse 18. So you will do well to remember the Lord thy God, because it is He that gives you the power to get wealth. You know, that's a powerful scripture. And I want to explain that for a minute. This scripture doesn't exactly say that He gives you wealth, you know, but it says that it gives you the power to get the wealth. You know, some things that God deposits in you, as you will see in other scriptures, as we will read here, and gives you the ability to do these things. You know, we are always partnering with God in anything that God wants to do for us. You know, so whether it is even our healing, you got to believe. You know, whatever it is, you know, that God is doing for us, we are partners with Him in it. And God doesn't just throw things down. Well, He did that for the children of Israel, you know, with the manna and all that. But see how that ended. It didn't end very well. You know, always grumbling. You know, they didn't follow the instructions and, you know, how to gather it and also on and so forth. So, you know, the Lord gives us things and He does things for us, but He wants us to partner with Him. Walk with me. Now, that's work, W-O-R-K. I also walk, which is W-A-L-K. Both. He wants us to walk with Him, take, you know, go through the journey of life, but He also wants us to work with Him. Hallelujah. To build with Him. So, He'll give us that power to get wealth. Hallelujah. And there are many ways in which He does that. We'll find out some more as we read through some of these other promises. Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses of this chapter talk about a lot of blessings on prosperity, you know, and most of it as a reward to obedience. Remember when we started this series, we talked about, you know, the promises of God, most of the time will have conditions. And even when there are no explicit conditions stated, there are always two conditions that I gave. Number one is, it's not a promise unto you unless you know that it was promised. You know, nothing is a promise if you don't know that it was promised. That's number one. That means we must know the promise. Number two is, according to Hebrews 4 and 12, some people that got the word of God and got His promises, it was not mixed with faith in their hearts, so it did them no good. So the second thing is, it must always be mixed with faith in our hearts. And then on top of those two, there may be some explicit promises. Well, in this chapter of Deuteronomy 28, there may be some explicit conditions, I meant to say, that we have to fulfill for the promise. In this chapter of Deuteronomy 28, the key thing here is obedience. You know, it says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to do and to observe all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And then He begins to tell them, all of these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake you if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Many things. You can read it all. You will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the field. You will bless the fruit of your body, of the ground, cattle, increase of your kind, flocks of your sheep, etc. You know, you bless your basket, it will bless your store. And when you come in, you'll be blessed. When you go out, you'll be blessed. I mean, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you, coming one way, they flee out seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon thy storehouses. And in all that you set your hand to do, shall bless thee in the land where the Lord gave you. Wherever you are, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Lord will bless you, make you plenteous in goods, the fruit of your body, fruit of your cattle and so on. You know, the Lord will open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give you rain, hallelujah, and to bless the work of your hand. I mean, you talk about God prospering you, and you'll be a lender, you'll not be a borrower. He'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and never beneath. Only if you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. Don't put any of them aside. Do them all. Don't pick and choose. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. You know, and you're just loads of promises. But let me break down one or two of them. He shall bless your basket and your store. What does that mean? And why is it distinct? What's the distinction between basket and store? Well, your basket is now. Your store is future. So that means not only will he take care of you now, the basket you got on the table to eat from, but he also give you provision even for the rainy day or the future or anything like that. Your storehouses shall be filled with plenty. You have enough to eat now. You have enough for even later. That's the difference between the bread basket and your storehouse. But I like this one the best, you know. He said that the Lord will open unto you his good treasure. Hallelujah. That wraps up everything. The good treasure of the Lord. We'll come to some other verses that call that out as we go through this. Powerful stuff. You know, now, what is the purpose of this? You know, the Lord just put that in my spirit to say this. Purpose of these lessons, is it just some academic exercise for us to say that we can know these verses? What good is that? You know, these verses are given to us to make us partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? How can the promises of God make us, you know, become partakers of the divine nature? Well, as we explained in the beginning, there are many things that God has, you know, which we don't have entirely, but we have some parallels. One is his foreknowledge. God has foreknowledge of all things. We do not have foreknowledge, but we have faith. So what foreknowledge is to God is what faith is to us. That's it. You know, God has perfect foreknowledge of all things, so he can call it out, you know, the way he sees it. Clear until the end, he can call it out today, he can call out 2,000 years from now what will be. And it will be exactly because he's already seen it. You know, and not only that, his providence will make sure it comes to pass. Well, you know, the providence, you know, works by our faith. I don't have all of that foreknowledge. I don't know what's going to be, but I have faith in his word. So by my faith, I can approximate his foreknowledge. You know, because, you know, once he says it and I believe it, then it's just as good as if I've seen it come to pass. Now, that's one way of, you know, getting closer to his divine nature through his promises. But let's move on because we have so many of them to cover. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Lord promised you good success. Good success comes from, he said, by meditating constantly on his word and doing all that is written therein. You have good success. Good success in whatever you lay your hands to do. And he even says, look, have I not commanded you? You know, there's nothing for you to be afraid of. Step out in faith and believe God. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He promised to make your way prosperous. and promise to make sure that you have good success. All of these, you must, for through all of these, don't be afraid, but step out in faith. Psalm 1 verse 3 talks about similar things. You know, the first couple of verses talk about, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly and so on. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what will happen to him, you know, because he's meditating on the word of God day and night, he will be like a tree as planted by the rivers of water. That's you. You will be like that. You know, so you latch on to this promise. You know, when you delight in the law of the Lord, your fruit will come forth in your season. You know, your leaf will not wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. In a season means, well, you know, it's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will lack no nourishment. He will be in season and out of season, really, because he will never dry up. He's by the rivers. Hallelujah. So God will bless you according to this word. Psalm 16 and verses 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of your inheritance. And you can declare to yourself that the lines are falling onto you in pleasant places and that you have a goodly heritage. Well, the portion of your inheritance, well, which the devil always tries to take away and steal what God has given you. But the Lord will make sure it comes to you and you can always declare it for yourself. Psalm 90 and verse 17. It says, the beauty of the Lord our God shall be upon you. Hallelujah. You know, as you read these verses, personalize them. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. It will be upon you. And let him establish the work of your hands. So you can turn that into a promise. You know, it was a declaration here of sorts. But it also means that the beauty of the Lord will be upon you and he will establish the work of your hands. Hallelujah. Psalm 106 and verse 4. The Lord will remember you with his good favor. Remember, we're talking about prosperity, restoration, and favor. And I'm going to stop and talk about favor for a minute. You know, favor is so powerful. You know, when you have favor from the Lord, he makes exceptions for you. Glory to God. You know, Enoch found favor with God and God made exception for him. He walked with God. And whereas others were waiting to die, which God said, in the day that you do this, you shall surely die. This man, he went beyond all of that. He pierced the veil and he was able to secure favor with God. He walked with God and that sentence of death passed over him. That didn't come to him. You know, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God gave him tremendous power, even over all the animals, something that had been lost. He got it back. You know, all the wild animals that had become wild after the fall, they were in, you know, obedience. They became docile. They obeyed Noah. He gave commandment to them. When God gives you favor like that, he makes, you know, and there's, you know, he just makes a special deal for you. And that's something I call the king's favor, which I've spoken about in this room before. In the kingdom, rather than a democracy, in a kingdom where you have a monarchy and stuff like that, the word of the king is the law. It's not, there's no debate about it. You don't need 450 members of the House. You don't need 100 members of Senate. You don't need all of these things to debate it. That king just says it and it is law. That's it. End of story. You know, and we've seen many examples in the Bible we are the king, you know, and if you are making a petition when you are not even sure, should you appear before the king or not? If the king should stretch out the golden scepter before you, my goodness, then you can ask whatsoever you will. That's it. That's the king's favor. We saw it with Esther. You know, we saw it with, you know, many people in the Bible. We saw it even with Nehemiah before the king. We saw it, you know, with even Joseph, you know, when he got the king's favor and he was promoted. I mean, we've seen it all the time. We saw it with the story of the Shunammite woman. After 7 years that she left and came back, you know, she left according to the advice of the man of God. I said, look, there's a great famine coming, and you've been very careful to help us and do take care of us. I advise you, leave this place because you won't be able to survive. Go find out another place to sojourn. And she did. And after everything was, you know, came back to normal, she returned after 7 years. Meanwhile, her land had been confiscated, taken over by the government. They planted on it. They'd done whatever they wanted with it. And so on and so forth. She appeared before the king that day. And the favor of the king made a special commandment for her. Restore to her everything. That's restoration. Glory to God. Everything for the last 7 years and the increase of the land, anything that was done in that land, calculate it and give it to her. Glory to God. You know, that's favor. It doesn't matter whether he said the same thing to somebody else or not. You know, the favor of God is not an equality. You know, to say, oh, you share everything, you say everything. No, the favor is his favor. If he gives it to you, you don't worry about what anybody else is. You know, God will dish out his favor, especially to those whose hearts are perfect before him. David, in his days, you know, when he was king, and after God had restored him the kingdom, you know, he asked around and he said, you know, who is left of the sons of Saul that I may show him some goodness because of all that Jonathan did for me. Hallelujah. You know, and well, Mephibosheth, which we have also covered his story in this room, was found. He was the only one that was left of all the sons of the king that had not been destroyed. He was a lame man, very poor at the time, rejected and corner hiding for his life all the time. But the favor of the king went out to him. And the king said, this man will eat off my table continually as one of the sons of the king and as one of the princes. He will sit on my table. And he commanded his, you know, servants, you know, he said, look, you restore to him everything that belonged to Saul before. Land, everything, even you servants of, you know, you become his servants. Everything will be for him. Hallelujah. That's what's called king's favor. When the king, when he has that favor unto you like that, in his very favor is life. Praise the Lord. So you can read all that story about Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'm not going to read it this morning, but I just wanted to drop all those instances in to show you how the king's favor works. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord will remember you with his good favor. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Now, let's look at Psalm 122 and verse 7. I want to read this one and explain it because it's a little bit shrouded, but so I want to explain it. Psalm 122 and verse 7. Now, the way I explain it is that the Lord will give you, you know, prosperity in all your spheres of influence. But here's what he says. He says, peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Well, I translated that, or the Spirit of God translated that to me as saying, in all areas of your, all spheres of your influence, or all your spheres of influence, wherever you are, whether you are at work, at home, at your job, in school, whatever, you know, the Lord will give you prosperity and peace. Glory to God. Powerful, you know, powerful scripture to latch onto and to believe. Now, as we go through this, if you find a scripture that really resonates with you, you know, maybe it is a reminder, or maybe you hadn't even recognized that scripture before, memorize it, add it to your list of favorite scriptures, and it will begin to work for you. Psalm 128 and verse 2. Because you fear the name of the Lord will prosper you. You will eat the labor of your hands, and you will be happy. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, labor of your hands means that, look, God is not going to let you labor and somebody else step in and eat it. That's not how it works. You'll see a promise like that also when I get to the book of Isaiah. I'm just going through this down through the line here. Hallelujah. You will eat the labor of your hands, and happy will you be. Well, you know, why, you know, people are not happy really when everything is so tight, you know, and you work, but doesn't seem like there's any increase. You know, you just struggle. You know, you can't have true happiness. But God is promising here, you will eat the labor of your hands. Hallelujah. And nobody else will take it. Same thing is given to us in Isaiah 62, verses 8 and 9. It said, the Lord has sworn, you know, that he would no longer give your corn to be meat for your enemies, for the which you have labored. But those of you that have labored for it, you will eat it. And all that you have gathered, you will drink it in the courts of my holiness. Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's a great blessing. You will not, you know, devil will not put hand. You know, in the days of, you know, Gideon, they were hiding from the Midianites. They had to thresh and do everything in the corner, hiding all day long, because, you know, those Midianites just waited for them to finish all the threshing, thresh the wheat, thresh everything, you know, press out the wine and everything. And after they finish, they'll come in, swoop down and drive them off and take all the labor of their hands. You know, so they do the labor for nothing. And so they were always hiding in the corner to try to do it. Well, the Lord says, the enemy shall not take of the labor of your hands, for the which you have labored. You will labor it yourself, and you will also enjoy it. Powerful stuff. Hallelujah. Let's read Job chapter 22, verses 23 to 27. And again, some powerful promises about prosperity. But it all comes, this one hinges on acquainting yourself with the Lord. When you acquaint yourself with the Lord, and when you return to the Almighty, he said in verse 23, if thou, see again, that's that if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And then you put away iniquity from your tabernacles. Those are good conditions, always to live by. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. We talked about defense the other day. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. Don't worry about how he's going to do it. He will give you the power to get it. Then, you know, you have your delight in the Lord. As God continues to bless you, you continue to delight in him. And you continue to lift up your face unto him, and so on and so forth. Powerful stuff, down to even decreeing a thing and it being established unto you. Powerful stuff to be, even when everybody else is cast down, you will be saying there is a lifting up, both for yourself and for you to be an encouragement to others. You know, when people are down, everything is down. For you, there is a lifting up. You know, in the days when the economy is down all around you, the Lord says, for you, there will be a lifting up. There will just be miracles happening for you, you know, and you can just believe it. Believe it for yourself. Believe it for your children. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God, you know, I'm seeing it in my family, you know, upon my children. Even when everything is going hard, we're believing God and things are booming for them. Glory to God. God's giving them favor and miracles. And this can be all yours, you know, if you believe the Lord and you return unto him with all of your heart. You have plenty of silver. In Proverbs chapter 3, you know, verse 4, it says you are going to find favor and good understanding before God and man. You know, the Lord will bless you. These are promises. And you can use these things in prayer and say, Lord, you said I will find favor. You know, I mean, there may be times when you need someone to make a decision, you know, that may impact your progress. I mean, it's not that you need somebody, you're waiting for a decision, either your bosses or that the government, either something you applied for or whatever, you know, to make a decision, you know, some, you know, admission to something or whatever, you know, you can latch on to these kind of scriptures and say, Lord, you said that I will obtain, you know, favor before God and before man. Good understanding as well. Same chapter, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And this is another thing about, you know, what to do for the Lord. Honor him. Give him the first fruits of all thine increase. And watch how your storehouses will be filled with plenty. Hallelujah. Your barns, your storehouses, your breadbasket, everything. What does honor the Lord, you know, with the first fruit of all thine increase mean? Well, it means don't give him last fruits. Many people give the Lord last fruits. They're walking, you know, then, you know, government, Uncle Sam here in America, is what we call him. Big old IRS. They'll take their slice. Everything else takes its slice. Your 401k, your savings health plan, your this, your that, your rent and everything, you know, and so on and so forth. And then at the end, when you have nothing left, then after everybody has taken everything and you spend all, then you look at what is left and you say you are going to give a tithe of that. That's nonsense. Give the Lord the first fruits of all of your increase. Hallelujah. That's how you get a blessing. And someday, and I think I promise this, I'm going to show you how to grow your tithing and offerings. Not focus on grow the blessing, but how to increase your tithes and offerings. You know, because, you know, listen, if your tithe increases, and assuming that your tithe is 10%, and you are able to constantly increase your tithe, by definition, it means, you know, you are increasing. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you how to do that someday, but not today. But today, all I want to say is, look, give the Lord from the top, not from the bottom. You know, for those that work and get a paycheck, that's called off your gross, not your net. Your net is after everything else has been taken. And then you've paid all your bills. You paid your taxes. Government takes first. You know, give unto Caesar. Nobody's telling you not to pay your taxes, but give unto the Lord first. You know, don't, if you earn $1,000 before taxes and before all the other deductions. Now, this is for those who want to give tax. And, you know, that's not my subject today. But if you want to do it, you got to do it right. You know, if you earn $1,000, then your tithe is $100. Not your paycheck out of that 1,000, your paycheck is now 457 or whatever, because so many things have been taken. And then you're going to give a tithe on that 457. That's wrong. That's not your first fruit. You give it on your increase. Hallelujah. So on the gross, not on the net. You know, that's by the way. But that's how you get increase. You know, that's how you just do. The Lord just will be blessing you. You just see that you'll be increasing. You'll be increasing year after year. You will just be increasing. Psalm 10 and verse 22 says the blessing of the Lord in your life. This is a promise of blessing will make you rich without any sorrow being added. Hallelujah. I use this verse many times in prayer. You know, I mean, you stand in prayer when you are trying to believe God for something and God bless you with something, but there's so many problems that come along with it. Use this verse and say, Lord, you said that, you know, the blessing of the Lord will increase me and I will not add all sorrow. Well, whence then cometh all this sorrow and all this affliction that's coming by it? And you begin to push back with it. And you remind God his word like that. You plead with him and he will come through for you. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. A good man or woman will obtain favor from the Lord. Remember, we're talking about prosperity, talking about restoration and favor. I've already covered one story of restoration in the life of the Shunammite woman that got everything back that she lost. I'm going to give you some other scriptures about that in a minute. Praise the Lord. A good man. What is good in this case? Well, righteous is really what it is. You know, you're in right standing with the Lord, not in the ways of the world or even your own mind, not justifying your own self before the Lord. It is he that justifieth us. But when you are in good standing with the Lord through the work of justification that he had done for you, then you will obtain favor from the Lord. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. The Lord will prosper and establish your thoughts, even your thoughts. Hallelujah. The things that you are thinking, your plans. Thoughts here also means plans. You know, people make a lot of plans and thinking this and that, especially at the beginning of a new year. They will make resolutions, they make plans, they do all of these things and so forth. Well, whether they come to pass or not, that's a different story. But if you commit everything unto the Lord, we covered even that when we were talking about, you know, wisdom series, you know, that without counsel, your plans might be defeated or you might forfeit them or frustrated. You know, without counsel, plans are not going to work. The same way you commit the works unto the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. You know, that's a powerful promise to say that God will even begin to bring fruition to your plans. Hallelujah. Now, this next one is for people who are single, wanting to get married. Proverbs 18 and 22. God will even give favor to single men to find a good wife. If you find a good wife, that's favor from the Lord. If you find a good husband, that's also favor from the Lord. And the Lord will do it. Proverbs 18 and 22. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about some powerful things of how, you know, and I have a lesson to teach on this next verse someday. You know, maybe here on Clubhouse, maybe at the church, I'm not sure. But someday, and I will teach on this lesson of Isaiah 45 and verse 3. I'm going to teach on that, but let me just give you a high-level summary of it today. You know, but it is so deep. But here's what the Lord said. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Thou mayest know that I am I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Treasures. Well, why is it called treasures of darkness? It doesn't mean it's evil things. It just means that, you know, it's hidden from people. People don't understand. They can't find it. God has a way to give you the power to find it. It is hidden in secret places. It's not in plain view, but he'll bring it to you, you know, because of your obedience, because you are pursuing and seeking the Lord. You are not seeking after these things. You know, these things will seek you out. Glory to God. You know, we are not seeking after things. Listen to this in this same Isaiah 45, verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and, you know, of the Sabians, men of stature. You know, well, Egypt was a popular kingdom in those days. Ethiopia, you know, all around the world, you know, basically you can say the riches of the Gentiles, the secret of how the world is making gains. You know, say men of stature shall come over unto you. They shall be thine. They will come after you. You're not the one going after them. You know, in chains shall they come over. This is powerful stuff. Isaiah 44, 45 and verse 14. God will bring this stuff to you. Jesus said the same thing. You know, he said in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things shall come unto you, shall be added to you. Not, you don't need to, you know, pursue them. They will be added to you. Hallelujah. These are promises of God, point blank. But we must put our focus and attention on the Lord, not on these things themselves, you know, but, you know, God is going to show you goodness. God is going to show you tremendous favor and prosperity if you place your heart on the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at Isaiah 48 and verse 17. I'm going through this quickly. This also ties back to what we read at the beginning in Deuteronomy 8 and 18. This is the same kind of thing. It said, the Lord will teach you how to profit. You know, he'll give you that power. He'll give you understanding of how to do it. You know, praise God. If you are either in a business for yourself, you're an entrepreneur or whatever, and maybe things are not going quite as well as you thought they should, well, turn to this scripture. Hallelujah. The Lord will teach you. Hallelujah. He says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches you how to profit. Glory to God. And leadeth you in the way that you should go. Powerful promise. You hold on to this and you begin to see, you begin to declare it, you begin to see great things happening for you. Say, I'm going to teach you. Even while you are sleeping, I will seal the instruction in your mind. You get up in the morning and all of a sudden you have this incredible knowledge. Oh, glory to God. Because the Lord deposited something inside of you and show you what to do. I will lead you in the way you should go. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you must hearken unto his commandments. Hallelujah. You must hearken unto his commandments. You must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You must be in right standing with the Lord. But these are powerful stuff. Glory to God. Psalm Isaiah 62, verses 8 and 9. I gave you that earlier. That the Lord will no longer allow the enemy to, you know, devour you. Hallelujah. He won't let it. You know, God said the same thing in Malachi. He said, I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. You know, devourer means, look, you're working hard, you're earning money, but it's going into a bag of holes. Every time there's one kind of problem that you must use the money to fix, run up and down, you know, your problems here, your children there, they're running. No! God wants to give you peace and stability. Rebuke that devourer. Hallelujah. You have rest. You walk. You make money. God brings you wisdom on how to do these things, but then you must be able to enjoy them. What good is it if you are making money and you're not enjoying it and you're using it to service problems all the time? You know, so these are the promises that we need to latch on to. Listen to this in Jeremiah 29:11. Famous scripture that everybody quotes. You know, the Lord says, my thoughts towards you are for good always. To prosper you, to do you good and not evil. Again, you know, when there are any lying tokens of the devil that tells you otherwise, quote this scripture back to him. Hallelujah. Because there is no, Numbers 23:23, there is no enchantment against Israel, neither any divination against Jacob. So any peeping and muttering spirit that try to tell you you will not make it or you will not progress, no way, no how. You push back with the scriptures, say the thoughts of God towards me are always for good. And sometimes you'll see a bad dream or a dream that tells that some evil going to happen. Or somebody tells you, you know, some negative thing. Reject it right away. Hallelujah. Because his thoughts towards you are for good. To bring you to an expected end. To prosper you. Not any evil. God doesn't have evil thoughts against you. That's a devil that does that. And you don't need to even entertain that. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord will bring you into a place where people will be looking and saying, wow, what has God wrought for them? You can read that in Numbers 23:23. God will cancel all enchantments against you. God will cancel all divinations against you. And then people will say, what has God done for you? Powerful, powerful stuff. Praise the Lord. So that's Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to this in Jeremiah 30:17. And this also goes with the healing and stuff that we did on that second day. You know, it said the Lord will restore health to you. I actually want to read this one. Jeremiah 30:17. Let's read it and let's unpack it because it's so powerful and so loaded. For I will restore health unto thee. And that's restoration. But it also deals with health and healing. And I will heal thee of thy wounds. Now that could be physical. That could be emotional, that could be mental, be anything. Remember, Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal and bind up the brokenhearted. I will do all these things to you, saith the Lord. You know, those, they called you an outcast, they called you rejected and so forth, which no man is even seeking after. You know, sometimes they even seek, you know, single women and all of that, that are just hurting. Burdened single mothers, burdened and hurting, and it looks like no man is even coming after you and so on. Well, here's a promise point blank. The Lord said, you know, I'm going to do something, even though they call you outcast. Remember, the, you know, even in Isaiah 62, we preached or taught in this room before. Some months ago, last year, early part of when we started this room, he says that, you know, you will no more be termed forsaken. Isaiah 62:4. You will no longer be called desolate, but the Lord has chosen to call you Hephzibah and Beulah. Hephzibah means the Lord delights in you. And Beulah means you will be married. Hallelujah. So if you are here in this room and you are thinking that's me, well, the Lord delights in you and you will be married. Your name shall no longer be outcast. Your name shall no longer be forsaken. Your name shall no longer be termed desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and Beulah. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4. The same thing is what this scripture is saying here. In a way, when you break it down in Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. Well, here's another promise of restoration and abundance. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 to 27. Let's read that together. Joel chapter 2, 23 to 27. Powerful stuff about restoration. You know, that the Lord gives here. And I'm going to call out something else that he says. So read with me if you have your scriptures. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Are you a child of Zion? We are come to heavenly Mount Zion, he says. You know, we're in this, we're the so-called new Zion now. Rejoice in the Lord your God. They're giving you the former rain moderately, but he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, the first month. The former rain is called a planting rain. And this was, you know, how they used to call them in those days. You know, their enterprise was mostly around farming and all that kind of stuff. The former rain, the latter rain was the harvest rain. And the Lord said, well, I mean, usually that's many months apart. You know, you plant, when you get some planting rain, they wait and wait and wait for the planting season. After they've plowed the fields and so forth, the rain doesn't come, it's no good. You know, so they believe in God for that. And when the rain comes and they do all they need to do, and many, many months later, you know, then when it's getting close to harvest time, there must also be the harvest rain. It's a different kind of rain. You know, the intensity is different from the one of the planting rain. But the Lord now says, look, you know, the reaping will be overtaking, you know, the sowing. You know, it's like it will be happening just as soon as you are planting, you are also reaping. It's all happening in the same month, not months apart, not year, a whole year apart like it used to be. You know, God will be giving it to you, you know, even at the beginning, he'll be giving it to you. You know, and the floors shall be full of wheat, the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore unto you the locusts, what they are eating, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, all of these things. You know, the army that has eaten up all your things, well, through disobedience, you know, God allowed those things. That's why I say my great army. God allowed, you know, those things to come upon them because of their disobedience. You know, it was like the, you know, the scourge of man because of their disobedience. But if you walk in the ways of the Lord, he said, I will restore to you all the years. There may be some of you here, you've lost many things. You made some bad turns. You made some bad decisions. And it made you to lose time, go off track, and you lost, and you're trying to find your way back. Maria Kundi Sheliabos, I will restore to you the years that you have been lost through the locusts eating them up, cankerworm, caterpillar, and palmerworm. And you will now eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you praise the name of the Lord your God that I dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never, glory to God, be ashamed. You can underline that one phrase. My people shall never be ashamed. And anytime the devil try to bring anything to you that may cause shame, you latch on to this word. He says it twice in as many verses here. My people shall never be ashamed. You know, he says it over and over and over again here. My people shall never be ashamed. Listen to it in verse 26. He says it. And then in verse 77, he says it again. you know, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. When God says something twice is in as many verses back to back like that, you can latch on to that. My people shall never be ashamed, because the spirit of prosperity will be upon you. The spirit of restoration will be upon you. All the, you know, mouths or gainsayers that have said, aha, aha, the Lord will shut them up. You will recover all, saith the Lord. I'm reminded of the story in 1 Samuel 30, first six verses. Story of David in Ziklag. He lost everything when he went to fight with the, you know, Philistines and so forth, you know, enjoying himself over there. By the time he came back, you know, Amalekites and everybody comes stricken, whatever they had, carried away their wives captive and everything. And even the people that went with him, you know, they were angry at him, said, we followed you to battle, for, you know, go and fight a fight that does not even belong to us, didn't belong to you even. Now look at what, you know, has happened to us. And they wanted to stone him because they were grieved for all their wives and everything being taken captive. But by the grace of God, those people were not, they didn't kill them. They just took them captive and they carried everything away. And David, the Bible says that the people were distressed. They wanted to stone him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I love that text. He encouraged himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the Lord gave him the wisdom of what to do. He went after them. He recovered all. Glory to God. You also will recover all. The Lord will teach you. Glory to God. And you will recover all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You will recover all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, let me go through the rest of these. I'm coming to the end of my list here. I'm going to go through it quickly. Here are promises, you know, God said he will even double unto you blessings, you prisoners of hope. A prisoner of hope is somebody that is afflicted, but they are putting their trust in the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. Read that with me. The Lord gives a powerful promise to what he calls prisoners of hope. Maruka Shelabas. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today, today, he said, I declare unto you that I will render unto you double for all your trouble. You know, everything that you've lost. You know, Job, the Bible said he lost a lot. But at the end of the day, God gave him double. If you calculated it, you know, whereas he had 7,000, he got 14,000. Whereas he had 3,000 of one thing or the other, sheep or this and that, he got 6,000. And God just doubled everything unto him. God said, look, I will, you know, be... As long as you are looking, prisoners of hope here, they are not prisoners of despair, folks. Despair is the opposite of hope. A child of God can never be hopeless. You know, you may be in captivity right now. The Spirit of the Lord is here to set you free. Just have hope. Link your hope onto the Lord. Put your hope on his word. He say, indeed do I hope, indeed do I put my trust. Hallelujah. Put your hope in the Lord and he will come through for you. Praise God. Powerful, powerful promises. We give you these promises for you to store in your mind, store in your mouth. Let them be at your fingertips so you know what to do when you come up with challenges. Malachi 3 and verse 10. We covered that already. The Lord promised to, but I want to read it something else I want to bring out from that as well. You know, the Lord wants you, you know, to, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall be not enough room for you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, devourer, he is the one that destroys the fruit of your grounds, you know, everything you labor for, you know, and so on and so forth. The Lord said, look, I will destroy and rebuke that devourer, so that your vine will not cast their fruit before the time in the field. Everything will come out just right. I will even open windows in heaven and pour you out a blessing. That there will be not enough room to receive it. Well, I don't think there's any of you in this room that have received a blessing that there is not enough room to receive it. Therefore, you know, this is promise is for you. Open up and let the Lord begin to pour to you. You won't even have enough room. And then you have to, you know, dish it out. When God turned the story around for Peter and his fellow fishermen, you know, and labored all night long, caught nothing. And in a moment, when Jesus gave the word, and Peter said, look, Lord, we've toiled all night, caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word. When he did that, there was not enough room to receive it. Their nets break. They had to beckon to other fishermen in the other boats. You know, come, there's a bountiful harvest here. You know, and I'm seeing and hearing an abundance of plenty. The Lord gave us the word for this year, emerge. And one of the ways that the Lord has to do it is God has to cut off all the leeches and all the things that are siphoning your blessings away. You know, they latch on to what God wants to bless you with, and they are causing, they're draining those out. The blessing of God. God will destroy. God will rebuke them so that you can really flourish. Hallelujah. This is the year. And let's believe God together. God will open windows of heaven. You won't even have. I've said it before many times in this room. What God has versus what you have received from him is like your bucket to the ocean. Your bucket is what you receive from the Lord. The ocean is what he has to give. You can take that bucket to the ocean and there will be not even a dent left in the ocean. You can change the size of the bucket. Why bring a bucket when you can bring a barrel? Well, take a barrel to the ocean. Well, I see plenty more to give. Well, why bring a barrel when you can bring a tanker? Bring a tanker. Come as many times as you want. There's still plenty more where that came from. Hallelujah. That's the windows of heaven. For you, God is, you know, unlimited in his resources. You know, some of these things may seem abstract, but they are real. You know, if we have time to give testimony, you will hear testimonies of people that have tapped into these things and that they are actually working. Nothing about God is abstract. Faith is the substance. You know, it has a substance, so it's real. It's not abstract. The substance of what we believe. Glory to God. You know, so these promises are given to us for us to prosper. Third John verse 2. It's only one chapter. It says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. And let's see, you know, that tells us that it's God's will for us to prosper, and he will do it too. Now, I left these ones to the last. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye yourself know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ha! Glory to God. How that though he was rich, he traded places with us so that, you know, he gave up everything, became poor for our sakes, so that we might receive the true riches of God through him. Hallelujah. Powerful stuff. Jesus trading places for us to make us obtain the true riches that God wants to give us. That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Likewise, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 tells us that God is able to make you have sufficiency in all things. God is able to make you have sufficiency in all things. And last but not the least, Philippians 4 and 19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Powerful promises of prosperity, restoration, and favor that we covered this morning. I'm going to leave it there. There are many more that we can bring out, but I think that's plenty. We've gone from clear on the Old Testament, clear on through the New, showing you the mind of Christ on this matter. He wants you to prosper. He has given you the grace to hear the word of God so we can apply it to ourselves. He will teach your hands to prosper. He will teach your mind. He will instruct you. He will give you the tools. You know, one time the Lord told Noah that the rain was coming to destroy the whole world. And for many years, you know, the warnings, and while Noah was preparing the ark, but God didn't build the ark. God did not build the ark. Noah had to build the ark. You know, so God will tell you, God may have told you the rain is coming, but you're going to build the ark. What did God do in that case? He showed him where to find the timber. He told him where to find the wood. Showed him where to find all of these things to build the ark. But God didn't build the ark. He did not. And even the story of Jesus, you know, telling his disciples to feed the multitude. Jesus didn't feed the multitude. He just took the 2 loaves and 5 fishes and put it back in the hands of the apostles or the disciples. Jesus didn't feed the multitudes and he just walked away. He put a blessing on it, put it back in their hands. Why am I saying this? Even when Moses was standing at the Red Sea crying to God because the children of Israel were all over his case. Why did you bring us here to kill us? And God said, why are you standing here crying unto me? What is in your hand? I already put the power in your hand. You forget the rod. Stretch forth the rod. What's in your hand? Hallelujah. You know, so we've talked about God parting the Red Sea. Of course he did. But Moses had to do it. God was not going to do anything as long as Moses was still there crying to the Lord. You got to do something with what's already in your hand. Hallelujah. And that's what God means by, I will teach your hands to prosper. I will give you instructions in your mind. You know, God is the one that's going to do it. How to obtain riches that are hidden, treasures that are clouded from people. How to prosper when everything else is going wrong. How to even take advantage of that. Glory to God. God, praise God. You know, Joseph took advantage of, you know, for Egypt, of the famine that was in the whole world. You know, at the end, everybody came to him. They even said, look, you know, we need corn. We don't have anything. I will sell you our land. We'll sell you at this. We'll sell you at that. Thank God that Joseph was a good Joseph at that time. He would have put all the people in captivity. There's one evil Joseph that's coming at the end. He would take everything that the people have, you know, and he would give them nothing back. He would even take their souls when they take the mark of the beast. That he will give them nothing back for it. Well, that's a different story. But God, you know, will show you what to do. And we can take advantage even when everything is going evil around the world. It's called the labor of the vine has failed. But for you, it will bring you riches, even in chains, give you wisdom how to get it. powerful promises here for us to latch onto. That's our lesson, ladies and gentlemen, for today. Today has been about prosperity, restoration, and favor. And if you remember nothing else, remember the king's favor. When he puts that scepter out towards you, you put your hand on that scepter, you can ask whatsoever you will. When he makes a law, it's just for you. He may not give the same to the next person. Yeah. So God, that's how his favor works in his kingdom. And if you find that kind of favor with the Lord, you'll find out that no matter what's happening to others around you, yours is different story. Now, it doesn't mean that the devil will not put up a fight or a challenge, but you also put up a fight too, because you are winning. I mean, you are fighting a winning fight. We already have the victory in the Lord. I'm going to pray a brief prayer over the room, and then I'm going to yield for comments and testimonies and so on. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that we have shared this morning. Powerful promises about prosperity if we put our heart upon you. Powerful things here this morning on all the things that you will restore for us that the devil has taken, and the favor of God that will come into our lives. Father, we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. Thank you for your people that have listened in. And I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ teach you these things. Praise the Lord. Teach you this word. That you take this word, let it be mingled with faith in your heart so that you may prosper therewith. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord bless every one of you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Psalm 62 verse 10 gives us a warning, you know, and I must bring this in here. When riches increase, do not set your heart upon them, because your riches will increase. The prosperity of the Lord will increase for you this year, but let it not become a snare. Set not your affection on those things, but set your affection on things that are above. Psalm 62 verse 10 tells you that when riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. And Colossians chapter 3 also tells you, do not set your affection on things on earth, but set your affection on things above. Nevertheless, the Lord will bring these things our way. Hallelujah. That's Colossians 3 verse 2. The Lord will bring these things our way, particularly beginning this year. And let us enjoy, because it is his good pleasure to give us these things. Glory to God. Good morning, everybody. And welcome to the room, and good afternoon, those of you in the afternoon. That's it. Now it's your turn to share. Blessings, everybody. Amen.